I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 8. Verse number 8. The Bible says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." That I may win Christ. Back in 2011, I always make notes on my sermon outlines when I preach them, but I preached at the Colfax camp meeting, and I actually looked at this same portion of God's Word, and I preached a message then, and we entitled it, "How to Be a Winner." How to Be a Winner. And we looked at this same verse of Scripture that we see here before us tonight. He said that I may win Christ. This evening, as we think of the closing out of an old year and the entrance of a new year, it's our desire tonight to be a winner. It's our desire tonight to be a winner in the right kind of a way. I don't want to be a loser in the coming year. I want to be a winner, don't you? And I think this evening, the best way to be a winner is to be a winner according to the prescription of the Bible. And I know that there's a lot of things, a lot of activity, a lot of anticipations, a lot of fears perhaps, many challenges. In fact, Caroline was talking, coming to church tonight. I'll tell you one thing, we sure are winding up this old year with some terrible things going on in a sense, aren't we? But thank God, regardless of our issues, our problems, our limitations, our sicknesses, our fears, we can be confident that God is on the throne tonight. Now, but how to be a winner? Now let's pray this evening briefly, and I'll share a few thoughts, and then we'll have a time of prayer here at this altar. Lord, this evening, we thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings. We thank you for the music tonight that has warmed our hearts. And we know that Jesus is always the same. And our Father, we're glad tonight that in a changing world, what a blessing to know the changeless God. And I pray this evening that you'll help us now. May we wrap our thoughts around this simple truth tonight about being a winner. Lord, help us tonight to aspire to be a winner in God's eyes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul said he wanted to win Christ. Well, if someone was talking to him, they'd say, "Well, Paul, I thought you'd already won him. I mean, after all, Paul, you've met him. You've been saved. You met him on the road to Damascus. What do you mean you want to win Christ? I thought you have already won him." Well, if I understand the language of chapter 3, what I see here, I see the aspirations of Paul to get to know Jesus better than ever before. I see his driving desire to learn more about Christ than what he already knew. I see him with an interest in having a closer walk with God. I see him with an interest in getting closer to the Lord and knowing Jesus better and just kind of warming up to the Savior. That's what I see here, that he would win Christ. Yes, he was a winner on the road to Damascus, that's for sure. He was a winner. Anytime a person gets saved, they're a winner. We know that for sure. You're a winner. You're not a loser. You see, the losers tonight are the people that are wasting their lives in sin. The losers tonight are people that are throwing away their lives in sin. The losers tonight are the people that are sticking needles in their arms and drinking alcohol and destroying their bodies. That's a loser. But a winner is a person that knows Christ. And then, as we look at Philippians chapter 3, a Christian is even a greater winner when we get to the place in our lives to where we're thinking, "I want to know Him more. I want to know Him better. I want to get to know my Lord better than what I've known Him before." You know, we can look back this evening and we can say, "Thank God I got to know Him pretty good in 2017. But you know what? We don't know Him well enough yet. One day we're going to really know Him. We're going to see Him face to face. We're going to see Him literally face to face. But until that bright day, let's desire to get to know Him better. You know, it's just like when a person gets married. Couples get married. You have that honeymoon period of time when couples have just gotten married. I mean, it's such a sweet time, but they don't really know each other. It takes years, doesn't it? It takes years when we really get to know one another in a marriage relationship. Well, you know, when we came to Christ, we became His child. Actually, in a sense, we became His bride. We were engaged, you might say. And one day there's going to be the wedding in the air. And one day we're going to be with Him. And it ought to be our desire in 2018 to get to know Him better than we've ever known Him before. The Apostle Paul looks back a little bit here. He counts his formal credentials, his earthly advantages, his religious privileges, and he actually uses the word dung. Counts them as dung that he might win Christ. He won Him as Savior, didn't he? He forfeited his own religious rags and found himself clothed in the royal righteousness of Jesus Christ. He proved to be a winner all the way from Damascus Road to Caesar's dungeon, where he would seal his life with his own blood. Paul was a true winner. He was a winner regardless of where he was. He was in prison when he wrote the book of Philippians, but he was a winner all the time. He writes this book and it's got joy throughout it. It's an epistle of joy. He's rejoicing in spite of his circumstances, and he's still talking about being a winner. Anybody would have looked at him and said, if I've ever seen a loser, it's that guy that I'm looking at inside the bars. It's that guy inside the prison. People would have been saying, that's a loser for sure. He is in prison. But Paul would say, I beg to differ with you. I'm a winner. I may be in prison, but I'm a winner because I'm connected to my Savior. And then he would go on to say, and I want to win Him more. I want to get to know Him more. Oh, I'm glad this evening that regardless of the circumstances in our lives, we still can have joy. We still have victory. We still are being blessed. The chains, the circumstances, the difficulties, the rags, the problems that we go through do not strip us of our royal inheritance in Christ. Being a winner. He desired to be a winner. Now, a few quick thoughts here. How was he a winner? You say, what did it take to be a winner? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's what I see here. He states a priority. He states a priority. Look at the verse, please. Verse number 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Verse number 10. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. He declares a priority. That I might know Him. That's priority. That I might know Him. That's how we become a winner. When we keep that priority up there. That I might know Him. Here's what we could say about Him. He was saved, but He wasn't satisfied. He really was not satisfied. He was saved, but He still wasn't satisfied with where He was spiritually. He said that I might know Him. He already knew Him, but He said that I might know Him. He's not satisfied. You know, this could be the greatest year of our life if we will never be satisfied with where we are spiritually. We're saying, we ought to be singing and saying it and meaning it all at the same time. New heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. In this coming year, let's not be satisfied with how much Scripture we know or how spiritual we think we are or how long we have been saved. Let's have that same attitude this man had, that I might know Him. That I might get to know Him better. Satisfaction. results in stagnation. When we become satisfied, we become stagnated. If we're not moving, we're losing. If we're not going forward, we're going backwards. Actually, in a sense, when you stop and think about it, in a Christian life, there's no such thing as standing still. If we're not going forward, we're actually coasting backwards. That I might know Him. Let's never be satisfied with where we are in terms of getting closer to our God. Let's desire to get even closer. Satisfied. I'm satisfied tonight I'm saved, and so are you. But I'm not satisfied tonight that I'm as close to God as I should be. And that may sound strange coming from a pulpit in an independent Baptist church, but guess what? Probably if all of us tonight give a quick testimony, everybody would have to say, I'm not as close to God as I could be. Is that a fair statement? Amen. Yes, it is. We should not be satisfied that I might know Him. There's more of the Word I need to learn. There's more about praying I need to learn. In fact, I need to pray more. I need to get closer to God. This world is a troublesome place. We are bombarded with fears every single day. Weaknesses, sicknesses hitting us, hearing of people dying, all that's going on in this world today, my friend, this evening, we need the security that only God can give. Oh, I'm not talking about being saved and having eternal life. I'm talking about that special sense of knowing that I'm in the perfect will of God and God's face is shining on me because I know that I'm where I ought to be before Him. Getting to know Him more. Not satisfied. We ought to set some goals tonight, and of course God's going to have to help us carry them out, but this ought to be the year of the Bible. This ought to be the year of prayer. This ought to be the year of turning over the right kind of new leaves. It's okay to single out physical ambitions, but it's a lot better to single out spiritual ambitions. Because I'd say tens of millions of years from now, we will not even remember what went on when it came to the physical realm so much. But everything done for the glory of God will be remembered and appreciated throughout eternity, for the saint of God, that I might know Him. Let's keep that as a priority in 2018. Let's not get into the business of simply going through the formal motions of Christianity. Let it be a living, vibrant thing. A.W. Tozer, he called people the mediocre Christian. He called them the common barnyard variety. And here's what he said. It means halfway between the valley and the peak, halfway between where we used to be and halfway from where we ought to be. And that old song does say, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let's make 2018 a year of priority. Keeping Christ first. And like we preached this morning, I am the Lord, I change not. Sister Brenda tonight sang a song that ties in wonderfully with that Malachi chapter 3 passage. We live in a changing world, but let's stay focused on the changeless God. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Let's go into this new year more Christ-centered, more sold out to Him, not satisfied where we are, but saying like Paul that I might know Him. I need to know more about my Lord. Let's keep that as a priority. Then, number two, quickly, he establishes a priority. He does something else. He discerns a plain truth about himself. If you keep on reading, verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Don't you love that verse? Not as though I had already attained. You see, he simply is making the point right here that he still has not attained. He still has not gotten where he should be. He's still got some adjusting to do. He's still got some growing to do. In other words, he's not satisfied with himself. Satisfaction can be bad. It really can. You know, it's kind of like the illustration I heard. You know, what we need in our church in this coming year, we all of us just need to put our shoulders together, love God together, work together, pray for souls to get saved together, and just make it a together thing in 2018. Like the old guy that had a, what happened is he's right coming down this old muddy road and his car got in the ditch. Here comes this old farmer by, and the farmer was in a buggy being pulled by a horse. And the man told the guy in the ditch, he said, "My horse here can pull you out." He said, "Buddy's a strong horse." He said, "He'll pull you out of the ditch." And so he unhooks his horse from the buggy, and he hooks him up, hooks the horse up to the man's truck. And then he says, "Pull Samson, pull Henry, pull Buddy." And the guy looked at him and said, "I see one horse. And I understand his name is Buddy." And the man said, "This horse, I've got to tell you something about him. He's blind and he's stupid. And he won't pull unless he knows that he's getting some help." You know, in a church, that's what we need. We need to be pulling together. Pulling together. This is not a one-man operation. This is teamwork. Teamwork. 2018, let's always be clear. Let's keep the priorities out there. But let's know how weak we are, and let's have the attitude, "I have not yet attained. I haven't got there yet. I haven't got there yet." And then I could go on, but I'm not. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth, he makes it clear. Pressing for the mark, for the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things are behind. Get out of the past. Quit holding up the past failures. Don't let them be an excuse for making this another year of failure. Don't let the failures of 2017 become the standards for 2018. We're on winning turf. We know the Lord. We don't have to repeat mistakes. We can go forward. We need to do some forgetting. We need to quit saying, "I tried it and it didn't work." How about this? "I'm going to trust God and it will work." Maybe the reason why it didn't work is we tried it. We depended on self. It ought to be trust instead of trying. And that's how we're a winner in 2018. I want to be a winner, don't you? That's how we do it. Have some good priorities, forget about the past, focus on the present, and not be satisfied with where we are tonight, but have it as our goal to get to know our Savior a whole lot better and grow in the Lord. And this could be the year of the trumpet. Let's bow our heads in prayer.